Now, we move into 1 Corinthians, and I've said this lots, but these texts in the middle follow their own rhythm, whereas the first reading is to prepare us for the gospel. The connection today is quite interesting, because what we have a lot here, you see, is Jesus healing. And he heals a lot by casting out demons, as we'll see. Okay. 1 Corinthians. If I preach the gospel, this is 9, 16 to 23, skipping verses 20 and 21. I don't think I'll skip them when I talk, but for editing and probably shortening purposes, they skip 20 and 21. Okay. If I preach the gospel, this is no reason for me to boast, for an obligation has been imposed on me, and woe to me if I don't preach it. When did that obligation begin? When he was on his way to persecute the Christians, and out of pure mercy and love, Jesus showed up, just like with Job. Jesus showed up, said, you know, Saul, why are you persecuting me? You see? So, I'm going to send you now, I'm going to make you a light to the Gentiles, and you've got to go preach. So he's saying, look, I'm just obeying the Son of God. You know, I'm not a big shot. I'm doing what the Lord tells me to do. He turned my life around. And so, you see, if I do so willingly, I have a recompense. But if unwillingly, then I have been entrusted with a stewardship. That is, now I'm just working for a job. But if I do it willingly, you see, then I have my reward, I have my recompense, you see. That's exciting, isn't it? God calls somebody and gets them out of sin, potential at least, and pretty soon after life's gone on for a while, this person realizes, God called me, God looks after me, God has saved me from God knows how many times I could have blown the whole thing. I am so grateful. So I preach out of gratitude, not like a hired hand. And that's what Paul is saying here, you see. If I do so willingly, I have a recompense. But if unwillingly, I'm the pastor, I got to preach, I better. I'm working for a living. You know, the diocese pays me a salary. Jesus will pay me a salary if I stay out of mortal sin. But, I mean, that's not the same as being overwhelmed with gratitude. Well, Paul was going to go beat up and kill the Christians. Well, if you look at our own lives, you know, we weren't doing so hot either. God knows what we could have done if he hadn't called us, looked after us, strengthened us, protected us, you see. So I want to tell the world how grateful I am. I want to tell the world how loving and generous and freely giving God is. And so, you see, let's work. Why? Because I got to get along with all kinds of people who don't like me. Or I don't like them. Or something. You see? What then is my recompense? Okay. That when I preach, I offer the gospel free of charge, so as not to make full use of my right in the gospel. I could be supported, but I don't want it. I want to work for a living. Nobody's going to say that I was just taking money from them. Oh, Lordy, do we have to be careful about that? Everybody, but especially clergy. Money, money, money. Stay away from money. Now he starts. Although I am free in regard to all, I have made myself a slave to all, so as to win over as many as possible. That's the privilege. That's the privilege. It's Saturday morning. I'm sitting in my easy chair thinking about the gospel, and the doorbell rings. And the secretary says, Mrs. Jones is here and she has a real problem. All right, I'll be right down. Whoopee. But I'm indebted to her. I was ordained to serve her, as he's going to say in a minute, you see. To the weak, I have become weak, to win over the weak. What does that mean? I'm not going to flaunt that I fast 3 days a week to some guy who's already 30 pounds overweight. I'm going to help him get there. So I have to be weak. You know, they tell the story of St. Ignatius of Loyola. One of the brethren was sick, and so Ignatius was playing chess with him to give him a break, you know? And another very fervent soul said to the founder, "What would you do if you know the world was going to end in 10 minutes? He moved one of the chess makers. He said, "Just what I'm doing now. I know that this is God's will, that I play chess with my brother and give him a bit of a break from his sickness and pain by relating and by playing chess together. So I wouldn't do anything else. Oh my God, I'm utterly sorry I did that. Now I have to play chess with my brother." You see, that's what he's saying. To the weak I have become weak to win over the weak. And so, well, that happens. Oh, you can have a delegation come and whatever they want to talk about, you know, but it's awful stuff. How dare you be pro-life? Won't you realize we're in the 21st century? And where do you start with him? You got to. But you don't start saying, you know, "Thus says the Lord, you are damned." You wouldn't win friends and influence people that way. You have to be weak, but you don't have to be compromised. So you start where they're at, wherever that ad is. You see? "I have become all things to all to save at least some." That is the work. It's the work of an apostle. It's the work of a pastor. It's the work of a lay apostle. It's the work of a mother and father to win over the children. You've got to learn this. That means I compromise? Oh, no, never. But there's a way that you can speak the truth and act the truth with a tenderness. When God showed up with Job, he sure blew him away, right? But in a way that was loving. "Hey, Job, did you ever make a crocodile?" "No, I don't know how to make a crocodile." "Well, then how come you're arguing with me about running the world?" You see, that's weak, God becoming weak with the weak. And that's why he says, "I see you face to face." He doesn't have beatific vision, but "I see you, I know you, I know who you are. And I repent in dust and ashes. I was a jerk. Now that I got to know you." So when you're having problems with God, go pray. Take it up with him. Wrestle with him. Until he gives you an answer. He loves that. It means that you know that sooner or later you're going to get an answer. "I just wish God would show up." You see what I mean? Why would you want God to show up if he's a terrible tyrant, send you to hell for criticizing him? You wouldn't want him to come, would you? But he wants God to show up because somehow I'll get satisfaction. He thinks he's going to get it on the level of explanation. But God blows that away by saying, "You know, you're not smart enough. But I'll show you who I am. And you will love me, and I will love you. And now that you know who I am, your suffering makes sense." That's the gift. So, you see, "All this I do for the sake of the gospel, so that I too may have a share in it." You see what he's saying? You see, that I could have a share in the gospel. What's the share in the gospel? Getting the New Testament at a discount? No. I share the good news. I know what I'm talking about. I know how great God is. And so, you see, I want to, for the sake of the gospel, that I can have in this world and in the next, a share in this good news. You see, that's what I'm talking about. And so, you see, so that I may have a share in it. That's wonderful. You see? So there is Paul saying this. Now I'm going back to the part that was left out for editing reasons, I would suppose. I have become to the Jews a Jew that I might gain the Jews. To those under the law, as under the law, though I'm not under the law, though that I may win over those who are under the law. To those who are without the law, as though without the law, but not being lawless. I mean, I got God's will. I don't have the Torah, but I have the heart of it, the Holy Spirit, that I might win over those without the law. How do you think he did that? Well, think of some examples, because they're good for us. You see, when he went back to Jerusalem, he did a vow, had his head shaved, went in, and brought another guy with him and paid for him so that they could offer the sacrifices and fulfill their vows. He knows this is not where salvation is, but it's legitimate. And so he does it. After a certain time, certainly after the temple's destroyed, so he's generous. How do we do that? I would say we need the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We'd have to know how far we can go in being with people, no matter where they are at, but without agreeing with them. And they'll try us to see, you know, I'm for cheating on my taxes. What do you think of that? We could say, I think you'll go to jail. You know, you think of some Irish thing to say, something smart, you know. So you keep, otherwise I say, you're going to hell. That's the end of the conversation. That's what he's saying about, see, I'm anomos, I'm without a law. And so it's keeping it human so that there's a human basis. That's why our Lord healed so many people. He showed his love, his compassion, his power over sickness and darkness, even death. So that people said, I can bond with this guy. I don't understand what he's saying, and I sure don't like some of the things he's telling we have to do, but I can bond with him. That's the way that you win them over. You see? Love. That's the whole secret. Love. Takes a long time to learn that. Longer time to put it into practice. But it's worth the education. You know? Love. How do you love without compromising? Only the Holy Spirit. You just pray like crazy. And as you're working to establish a bridge, you establish it with all the materials of the bridge are made out of truth, but it's still a bridge. And they'll put you to the test, you know. Are you for abortion? What do you think of same-sex marriage? What do you think of whatever, you know? And you've got to work your way through those things, which is the work of love. Amen.